it was like my iPod was like, you need to be angry. And I don't really need to be angry, but it was like, no, you need to. So they played, it was 5 minutes alone twice because I must have duplicated it on the iPod. And then Bad Habit by The Offspring. And nice. I'm like, damn, they really want me to be angry. iPod, what's, he's like, no, dude, you need to be angry. And I'm
it's
like,
funny because I was listening to the Dimebag solo EP earlier.
He's a solo? I didn't know he has a solo.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway.
This is Petey Page.
I am Mike.
J-Mac.
Brutal Dudes.
Welcome to Brutal Dudes.
Thank you.
We have a special guest today.
Extremely special.
Extremely special. On the 40th, is it the 40th anniversary of Return of the Jedi? I believe it is.
Yes.
And we have a member of Galactic Empire. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Carson Slovak. I play bass in Galactic Empire, and I'm dressed like a stormtrooper most of the time.
Nice. Pete's out in the Falcon shooting down some TIE fighters, taking care of business, so he's not able to be with us today, but that's okay. Pete's our third co-host.
Glad he's getting work done.
you got to do it, you know what I mean? You got to support the rebellion. Can't let the Empire win. Except you guys. Your Empire can win.
Rebellion, yeah.
Rebel scum. So this, it's kind of funny and kind of not funny, but I think it's funny. So I'm going to tell the story of the first time I saw you guys real quick.
Okay.
So my friend Joey is a diehard Star Wars fan, saw the movies when they were out originally, like took his now wife to see them. He's an avid listener of our podcast. He's great. He knew I found you guys. I mean, I don't want to be like, oh my God, I discovered you guys, because I didn't. But I found you guys online, and I watched the video for just the main theme, and I fucking loved it. And I was like, these guys kick ass. And then I found out you had a whole album, and the Cantina song was what absolutely sold me as, this is the shit. This fucking, this band kicks ass.
Yeah.
So I was like, dude, they're awesome. I told Joey, he loved it. His kids loved it. Everybody was into it. And he got me tickets for my birthday. And like, I think we were talking off air when you guys opened, your opener was Flux Capacitor.
Yeah. Which,
they were okay. They're not my cup of tea, but they were okay. But you guys were awesome. On the way home from that concert, I found out that my mom and dad were splitting up.
Oh my God.
So it was like one
wait
of
a minute,
the greatest.
Was this all a setup for you to blame them?
No. It's all our fault.
Fire for anything. I'm not a rebel, I promise. But I was like, yeah, what a way to juxtapose such a great show. Because I'm telling you, and I'm not just saying this because you're right in front of me, you guys are fucking awesome. Like,
oh, appreciate
you were they were throwing t-shirts into the crowd during the Cantina band song. And that song alone is just such a fucking crazy song to do a metal cover of. I was like, damn, this is fucking great. We get in the car and my other sister calls me and my little sister, and she's crying. And I was like, wow, way to sweep the leg right out from under me. Like, man, I'm Daniel on his back on the mat. Cause I was like, dude, but
that's crazy.
Still, I remember that show as being such a great show that even the impending separation of my parents did not dampen how great that show is. So, I mean, give you guys a hand that even the dissolution of my family was not enough for me to say, man, that was a rough day. It was still a good show.
I'm glad to hear that. I hope that, you know, it was a bit of a pick me up in the middle of that otherwise pretty difficult time, I would imagine. So
yeah, it definitely helped. And my favorite thing to do is to play your guys' music to people who've never heard it, who know Star Wars.
Oh, cool.
Because there's a lot of bands that try to do what you guys do, and they're not that good.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you. I'm so glad you're into it. And we have a lot of fun playing. It's a shame we actually haven't played in 4 years, but our first show in 4 years is coming up on the 5th. So
is that here? Is that in Neshaminy Creek?
The 6th will be Neshaminy Creek, and the 5th is going to be here in Lititz, PA, where Grant and I are located.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I used to live right outside of Lititz. I used to live in Ephrata.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, Ephrata. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, I lived there with my grandma when I was going to Millersville, and then when I was going to get my master's at Westchester, I was commuting back and forth taking her to grocery shop.
I don't know if you knew anyone in the music department in Millersville, but Grant McFarland, the drummer of the band and kind of the other guy that has been, you know, the only original member with myself, his mom used to teach at the music program at Millersville.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know them well. I was only there a year because I sort of flunked out. I kind of voluntarily flunked out. but I was there for a year. That's so awesome. Yeah, we used to go to how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? I'm 40. Oh, just, good. You're the same age as us. So I used to go to Chimney Corner. Do you remember the Chimney Corner?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, cool.
I used to fucking love that place. That was like my favorite diner ever. They had apple butter on crackers. And it wasn't shitty Musselman's shit. It was like actual Amish churned apple butter. Yeah. Oh my God, it was so great.
Very Pennsylvania Dutch.
Yeah. And then we used to go to the Wilbur Chocolate Factory.
Oh yeah, that's right down the street.
We used to do the tour and we used to go to it was amazing. They're great chocolate. Nice. And
the funny thing is I'm so terrible with directions, even being a lifelong PA resident, you guys might as well be talking about Mars. And that's
I'm usually the same way. I know some landmarks around here, though, at this point.
And then Sturgis. The Sturgis pretzels.
Yeah.
You can make your own pretzel.
Oh, that's awesome.
So fucking delicious. Anyway, now that we established that. But yeah,
it's important.
That's cool. So our area is the second show ever since you guys been back, right?
Yeah, since before the pandemic. So we haven't played since the pandemic.
So what you're saying is, set this up 100%. The Empire Strikes Back in Neshaminy.
That's right. 100%. It's coming.
That's awesome. So So I guess to get into brass tacks about it. So obviously Star Wars fandom got you into, but what initially, like, was it a riff that you guys did and you were like, oh, I can make that metal? Or was it like you just had a conscious effort of let's make metal Star Wars?
So interestingly enough, it's just an example of one of those things that just kind of started, you know, as like out of boredom kind of thing, but then snowballed into this really ridiculous thing that we're now like dumping tons of time into. But back in, I guess, 2015, my partner Grant, he is a drummer and we've been in bands together, you know, off and on over the years. And he and I run a recording studio together. That's kind of our day job. It is our day job. And back in 2015, we had like, I don't know, like a week of off days between sessions. We didn't have anything booked and we were just sitting around like, oh, what do we do? And Grant had done this. We're both huge Star Wars fans. So he had done this drum accompaniment. Like he did kind of a quote unquote drum cover of the Imperial March because, you know, we're both huge John Williams fans and big fans of the score and the movies. So he did like a drum video of himself drumming this arrangement that he made to the Imperial March, just along with the original symphony, London Symphony Orchestra. And then when we had this time off, we were sitting around like, what do we do? And he said, we should just put guitars in place of the orchestra to that drum arrangement that I made and just see what it sounds like. So we did. And it sounded like what it sounds like on the album, basically. And we were like, whoa, this is really cool. There's like a ton of music that we can do this with. So why don't we just do a Star Wars album? And, you know, we ended up eventually doing that. And then one thing led to another. And we thought, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we made a music video for one of these? But we were like dressed up as Star Wars characters. So we were like, okay. And we have some buddies who work at a film company who basically did the first video for free for us just because they thought it was such a funny idea and they had some time they could come in, you know, off hours and do it with us. And and then we put that out on YouTube and it ended up going pretty viral, you know, got I think like over 10-12 million views or something. And then it just turned into a thing like, okay, well, here's this band, so are they gonna play live? And then that was a whole other, you know, huge mountain of problems to figure out. You know, we eventually kind of got into a place where we could play live and ended up releasing a couple of albums and doing a good amount of touring right up until COVID hit, basically.
That's awesome. That's now you, I remember when I saw the show that Lucasfilm doesn't, they didn't approve. Do you, like, what's the relationship with that? Do you guys, like, are they cool with you guys doing it, or?
As far as I know, we've never heard anything from them. I remember, like, really early on, I think we sent, like, an inquiry, you know, to their generic contact or whatever, you know, asking about licensing for the costumes in particular.
Right.
In a live setting, but we never heard back. And so for our live shows, what we've always done is we had to kind of remake the costumes anyway, because the original movie costumes we used in the music videos, you can't walk or move or see anything, or not even close to be able to play anything accurately. So we had to kind of build live versions of the costumes that would be ergonomic and, you know, more fitting, you know, form fit, so that we could actually maneuver on stage and actually play our instruments for real. And so we just kind of decided to make, like, spin-off characters that were kind of like Great Value brand versions of the Star Wars characters. and that's what we always used live, because they were a lot lighter weight, you know.
That sounds like a thing in itself, like just coming up with, like, a, you know, you got to DIY your own costumes and shit.
Yeah, it was kind of a two birds with one stone thing, because, you know, we needed to solve the playability issue with the costumes, but also the intellectual property issue too. Because it's one thing if we have the screen accurate costumes in a music video, which is just kind of up for free on YouTube, and it's like clearly a parody, so it's transformative, you know, legally. But it's another thing if you're charging people a fee to get into a show where you're dressed up like Disney characters. You know, so we've always avoided that, and we've never had a problem. We've never heard anything, but we kind of think it's cool because, at this point we've, totally redesigned our characters for this third album cycle. And, they're just totally new characters that we own, that we came up with, that just look like they belong in the Star Wars universe.
That's awesome.
They're kind of, yeah, they're kind of still spoof characters, but they're more our own thing and less like, you know, Great Value brand Star Wars knockoff things.
Do you think that eventually, if you guys get, you know, enough popularity behind it, especially with, you know, Star Wars now releasing new shit for the first time in a really long time, do you think that eventually, like, maybe Lucasfilm will get in touch with you or somebody that's doing a show and be like, hey, we want to incorporate your characters into, like, a band in, like, The Mandalorian?
That I can't think of any dream that is, like, higher on the you know, goalpost for us, something like that. Like, for our music to be used in any capacity within, you know, Star Wars would be a dream come true. But I mean, you're talking about taking our new characters we made and putting them in the show. I mean, that would be like, I wouldn't even know what to do. I could just die, you know.
Like, even if you were just in a bar playing as the band.
Yeah, I mean, that would be
just so great.
I do know that there are at least a couple people that work at Lucasfilm who are aware of us, you know, who know we exist and dig it. So, you know, who knows?
I will say this. We're still new and we're building clout, but if I ever get the opportunity to throw that to somebody that could do something with it, you absolutely have my word that I will, because I think that would be so fucking rad.
Yeah, that would be awesome. I mean, we're totally into that stuff. We're all, you know, I mean, this band has always been just kind of like part of that really intense fan community kind of thing. You know, there's the whole cosplay element. There's the music kind of tribute aspect to it, you know. And it's really just kind of like, we're just big fans of the universe and the whole franchise. And we love that, you know, there are new movies coming out, and they seem to have, you know, kind of course corrected a little bit with where they're taking the stories. And, you know, we're stoked to be doing this now, and we're stoked that we're able to, you know, play again. You know, over COVID really screwed the whole band up. And then, you know, our, you know, bunch of members went to other bands, and Grant and I built a new recording studio, and that took like 2 years. So it's been, you know, kind of like a rough last couple of years for the band. It hasn't been really doing anything, but I'm stoked that we're back and we're like actually active again.
Did they go? They go to other bands on good terms, or is that like, was it bad?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, they're our best friends. You know, Chris, CJ, and Clinton, the three guitar players. But they just got a really great opportunity with a really big band that it's a masked band. I don't think I'm allowed to say who it is because yeah, they're like they, you know, signed stuff like they have non-disclosure agreements and stuff, but all three of those dudes got a chance to play in a really big band and they're getting paid really well. So that gig is, you know, obviously you won't want to pass that up. So we don't blame them at all. And we're really stoked for them. And Chris, the one guitar player, also played in Ice Nine Kills for a while.
Oh, no kidding. We have a connection to him.
Oh, cool.
To that band. So Every Time I Die, which is like one of my favorite bands of all time.
Mm-hmm.
We went to see them, and one of the people who Pete, our co-host, went to high school with, is friends with one of the guitarists from Ice Nine Kills. I don't know the guy's name. I don't remember. I only met him like one time.
Is it
I remember them saying Ice Nine Kills, and I had never heard of the band. So I was like, oh, okay. And then we went and got wings.
Okay. Nice.
Because we were in Buffalo. So I was like, we just went to get wings. I was like, I really was just concerned with the wings. And I was like, but it, you know, this guy's cool. Like,
he's like, yeah, your band's great. Anyway.
Anyway, honey barbecue, I'll take 20.
That's awesome. Yeah. So they were pretty busy like doing other stuff. And Clinton, our other guitar player, joined the band Era too. So he's touring with them and this other band. And so they're super busy, but we're stoked for them that they have the, you know, such good touring gigs going on.
Do you guys have any other, like, do you do stuff outside of Galactic Empire, like music wise?
No, me and Grant, that's all we do with our outside the studio time.
Now you mentioned the studio that you guys have. What's the name of the studio to make sure we get that plug in?
Oh, cool. Thanks. It's called Atrium Audio.
Okay. And it's in Lititz, you said, right?
Yeah, Lititz, PA. It's on the Rock Lititz campus.
Okay. Do you guys, are there any bands that we might know of that we might have heard of that record with you or?
Yeah, we record a lot of bands. August Burns Red.
Oh, wow.
Polaris, Era, From Ashes to New, like Moss to Flames, Candlebox, Everclear.
Oh, wow. Candlebox? That's awesome. They're about to retire, aren't they?
What's that?
I feel like they're doing a retirement tour, aren't they?
I think they are, yeah. I think they're doing like a goodbye tour, maybe.
They were so good live. They opened for Aerosmith one year. I saw them.
Yeah, they're an incredible band.
They were so good.
Yeah, we got to produce and co-write on their second-to-last record, and then their last record they just put out, we mixed and mastered.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So your studio is doing really good, is what you're saying.
It's doing pretty good. It keeps us busy, you know. And it's sometimes Grant and I kind of, you know, wonder why we decided to put all this extra time and effort into the band, which is kind of like, you know, started as a big joke kind of thing. But you know, it's so much fun, and it's a ridiculous amount of work, you know, on both fronts, studio and band, but we're doing what we love to do. You know, we enjoy it. It's can be stressful just trying to meet deadlines on, for both of those things, but you know, it's good.
Yeah, I always feel like it's like today is a good example. We had we have two interviews today, and you know, Mike does a lot of stuff. Sunday is Mike's pretty much Mike's day. My day, I just go to work. But like, it's a lot easier to know that you have a booked schedule when you love what you're doing. Because you don't mind having a book schedule. Whereas like if this was me going to the grocery store that I work at, I would be miserable and I would try and find a way to like fall on a box so I could get out of doing work.
So I like that. That's very specific. You've definitely done that, haven't you?
Oh, I've contemplated.
You're like fall on a box in the corner right at the blind spot of the security camera.
Smash my knee into a concrete wall so I can say, hey, the damage in here is caused by you guys and your neglect. Yeah, I thought this through quite a bit.
It's a good plan, solid plan.
All right, so who overall, if you were to pick out of all of the media that Star Wars has come out, I'm going to ask you some very specific Star Wars questions.
Okay, cool.
What Star Wars, what entity would be either the one that deserves its own series or one that you just enjoy the most? Like,
and why are you choosing the holiday special?
Holiday special is certainly very memorable. Very bizarre. So do you mean like a character?
Yeah, character, group of characters. Like not to bring in this into it, but a race, a specific race of people. Because I felt like the Boba Fett Tusken Raider, the backstory of the Tusken Raiders was like the coolest. I really liked the Boba Fett series. Yeah, I thought it was like really well done.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't like it, but I dug it. I thought it was
cool. It reminded me of like a Star Wars version of Clash of the Titans, which I've always loved Clash of the Titans. I just think that old school, that old school Hollywood vibe, that's what I got from it. And it was like, I dig that old school vibe, especially that they just did it so well. And they added like humorous parts, so he wasn't just this like totally stern, like dick character that he was throughout most of the movies. It's like, He actually has a human, like it's like a... Well, I don't know if he's human, but he actually has like a side you can connect to. It's not like, you know, a fucking bounty hunter that's a clone. It's like, oh, that's cool. Like, he has a sense of humor.
They definitely tried to humanize him. You know, he spent a lot of time with his helmet off and stuff, I think, intentionally.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought that guy did a really great job as him.
Yeah.
I love the supporting cast that was in that show was just so great. And, you know.
It was just cool that they had, Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
That whole thing. And I don't know, honestly, I would really like to know more about Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, his yeah. Sith thighs.
I want like a movie, like a prequel or something, but it's really dark, you know, and Jar Jar is just like this very dark, complicated character or something like that. I think that would be funny. I don't know, maybe Christopher Nolan should direct it.
Yeah, right, like Inception.
Yeah,
it's I always thought an Ewoks cannibal movie would be good.
That'd be great,
because they eat, you know, humans, clearly, because they were about to cook.
Yeah, they were gonna cook that. They were gonna cook everyone.
I thought that would be cool. And I also thought,
but it has to be the third Ewoks movie, like after Ewoks and Ewoks Battle for Endor, but not do a recap, not a reboot, like just pick up at the end of Battle of Endor. Everybody saw that.
Yeah. They could just make Sindel like digitally or something now.
Yeah. I always felt like two really missed opportunities in Star Wars overall in this vein are, there's like 10 bounty hunters and you only ever hear about Boba Fett. And it's like, there's other dudes that
did IG-88 pop up in one of the Disney Plus shows?
I think he was in, I want to say it was it The Mandalorian?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
Mandalorian. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least a model of him.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. But that would be cool. You could do a Greedo on how he went from being friends with Anakin when they were kids to like going down that smuggler's road and then getting killed by Han, like before he gets killed by Han.
Yeah.
Even that dude that they make jokes about it all the time when they spoof it. But like that guy that gets his arm cut off in the first one by Obi-Wan, like you could make a movie about how that guy was a criminal, like a Star Wars criminal. And it's like, you know, you could be like the Empire's cops, and it could be like Dennis Franz as an Empire cop. Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith is already in it. He can't be an Empire cop. He's a King of Alderaan. But you can get like, you know, a bunch of different people. Or I always thought it would be cool to like follow the Cantina Band.
Yeah,
on
like
tour.
Do like Almost Famous, but like with the Cantina Band. I was like, oh, that'd be great.
Or an intense courtroom drama about whether Han or Greedo shot first. You know,
yeah,
like JFK, Oliver Stone style.
like the Empire's lawyers and like the secret ties to the rebellion that the, like, do they do trials? Like, is this a thing? Because it's like, I feel like
have some form of government. So I'm
right. There's got to be all that stuff in there. What are the municipal guys doing? Like, where's the trash guys of the Star Wars Empire? Like, what do they do? Like Men at Work, the Star Wars version with Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen. Come on, that's gold.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Call up Lucasfilm,
or like a Casino Royale, but with like Sabacc, because they never really explain how to play it. I know you can find that stuff online, but like, wouldn't it be cool to like have a movie that's just a show that's just the Sabacc tournament, and it's all these different characters you bring in?
Yeah, it's like the Queen's Gambit, but Sabacc.
Yeah. See, I told you I'm heavy duty Star Wars nerd, man. I do the
so talking about Star Wars movies, and you mentioned, you know, the viral videos and everything. Have you guys thought about doing something longer form with the band and with your characters video wise?
We really would love to, you know, if we're able to at some point, we'd love to make like kind of a short film. And we've also talked about finding an artist who can do like a really cool graphic novel for us. And we definitely want to like kind of go a little further with the characters and do a bunch of fun stuff with them, and especially music videos. But it would be cool to do some, you know, kind of like a thriller-esque short film slash music video.
Great.
At some
point. You're right. That absolutely would be awesome. A thriller video. Oh,
yeah.
My brain's churning.
some big deal music videos from the 90s and the 80s that like had this like kind of 5 to 10 minute short film that was incorporated into the music video, you know.
I miss those so much, man. Even just the little ones too. Like, I don't know if you remember the Puff Daddy video where Busta Rhymes is a gargoyle.
Yeah, it's sick.
And he's like up, you know what I'm talking about? Like, that was a great video. And I'm, even though the song wasn't that great, it still was a great video. And it's like the fact that I remember the video more than I remember most of the song just shows you how good it was. And it's like, even I always say this, even Biggie's video where he was getting hunted by the government, hypnotized, but he's in the boat and he's driving the boat. I'm like, they just don't do cool shit like that anymore. It's always like they're in some dark, wet room, and like the band has like, they have like, it's a phrase for a name. It's not just like a one name, like a name band, like the Dark Knights. It's like, you know, as my, you know, my heart burns yearning or something like that. And then it's like, they're just, and it's like always like, that almost angled zoom in of the lead singer on the microphone. And then like, you see the guys in the back and like their hair's covering their face, but they're like rocking out. Like, I was just, I miss videos where like, you know, like where they just run in. Like, I'm trying to think of a good example just off the top of my head. And I can't, like the video for Peaches, right? It's just them singing in a field, and then ninjas come, and then they fight ninjas.
The presidents of the United States of America.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And then they just fight ninjas, and then they sing the chorus, and it's like, that's great. Why don't we have that? Ninjas and anything is great.
I love that band had like, I think they played their guitars with three, like there was one guitar with three strings on it and a bass with two strings on it, right?
They were great. Correct. Yes. They were I, you don't like them, do you? Mike doesn't like them. I like them.
It's more of a personal thing. It's not a music.
which brings me to my common question that I ask all of our guests, which is a good segue. So I don't know if you got to listen to any of the episodes before you came on, and if you didn't, no big deal. It's not a prerequisite. But how do you feel about Jared Leto?
I think that he can be a good actor with the right director.
Yeah.
I don't really know anything about him outside of the movie season. Like, I don't know anything about his personal life or care or anything. I mean, I liked him in Panic Room. I liked him in Blade Runner 2049. Yeah.
I know. I never
he's like the bad guy, basically.
Oh, he's always, I mean, that's the only role I would cast him in if I cast him in anything. I'm not a fan.
I've not seen the Suicide Squad with his version of Joker. I don't really plan to, you know.
Man, you're lucky. You're so lucky.
I like it's James Gunn's Suicide Squad, but I
so that's sure. That's the only part where I'll give Jared Leto a little bit of leeway. That's terrible, his Joker, but he didn't write that.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, with the right director and the right writing, I think he can be a really, really good actor for sure.
Like, I feel if anybody played that version of Joker, it still wouldn't have been good. That's the only little bit that I'll give him.
It was tongue in cheek. You know, people at this point, they want to see a darker Joker, you know, and that's kind of what the Matt Reeves Batman seems to be setting up.
Yeah. More, I really enjoyed the Joaquin Phoenix Joker.
Yeah. I thought that was good.
He's great.
I think that was a good, that delved very deeply into the dark, the psychosis that he had, because I didn't expect the twists at the end or in the middle. I was like, dude, wow, this is like,
I just started to bring it back to Jared Leto again. I just started the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League, the 4 hour and change.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder. About, what's that?
I only think I got through about a half hour of it.
I haven't even given it a chance.
I'm about an hour. It's split up into chapters, like a mini series. So I watched like the first episode, however long that is.
So Zack Snyder still doesn't realize that he's not God. Because that's what I feel like. He made like a couple of really good movies. And then he was like, oh, I can do anything.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's like, now you watch his movies and you're like, what are you doing, dude?
I mean, to be fair, it's completely different than the theatrical version.
Yeah.
It is extremely different.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's better.
That's what the general consensus is, like, I think, is that you don't know if it's that good.
Yeah.
Which like is why I'm glad.
I don't know if it makes it a good movie. It's just a different movie.
Bringing it back to Star Wars. That's why I'm glad that Leto has not had his chance to do anything in Star Wars, because I feel like it would make me angry unless he played Greedo and I knew eventually that he was going to die. You know what I mean? Because I have a personal grudge against Jared Leto. We're trying to get him on the show to hatch it out. But he's just unresponsive.
You'll get him at some point. Just
I hope so. We're starting a group called Friends Against Leto. I don't require anyone that's a guest to join. I just want you to know that the open invitation is always there. So if he does something to you that pisses you off, you watch a movie and it makes you angry, feel free to join. We love all comers. We're not non-denominational. We take everyone because there's a plague in the world, and it's Jared Leto, and it needs to stop.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind. It's good to know.
Thanks. Just keep
it support out there for us, Jared Leto people.
So as a band, what do you other than what we just talked about, which is being involved in something with the Star Wars universe? Mm-hmm. Do you have like specific goals that you're trying to reach? Like anything that stands out that you haven't done already?
Well, we've actually gotten to do a lot of things I never thought we would be able to do. Just because of the weird complexity of this band, particularly like the technical limitations, because we have to use like, an in-ear system because we all have helmets on and stuff. So, and we can't, we have to do, there's a lot of like stuff on the back end to run our whole show, like our light show. Like there's a lot of like technical complexity with the gear. And so just being able to translate all of that, to different venues, like not just shows, but we've played at Comic Cons a couple times. We've played actually like in a hockey arena in Canada. And just being able to like make our show work in different weird places has been kind of a weird challenge. But we've been able to do it so far. Honestly, stuff like something like playing Star Wars Celebration would be kind of a really big goal for us.
That'd be cool.
I'm not sure if it would be like a legal thing or not for them, but it would be one of those, definitely one of those big goals that we'd love to achieve at some point.
Have you gotten to meet anybody from the movies or the shows that you wanted to meet through the band?
I don't think we've met anyone from the movies or the shows. We did get to meet Geordi from Star Trek at one point.
That's cool. That's the Bart Burton, right? That's the guy that did Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, Reading Rainbow.
Love that show.
He's great. He was super cool.
That's cool.
Wars cast members, unfortunately.
That's okay. If you guys keep playing as good as you play, like eventually somebody's going to get to them and they're going to be like, and Mark Hamill's going to be like, yo, these guys are cool. He's going to be like, I'm going to hook you guys up.
And yeah. And with this new tour that you're doing, you guys have a new album coming out as well, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah. It comes out on May 4th.
I like that.
Yeah. That's what we did there. It's called Special Edition. It's got, actually a bunch of music that is from Disney Plus shows, and we have the Bad Batch in there, so animated series. We're kind of branching out and doing some different non-John Williams pieces from some of the more recent stuff, but we also have some stuff from the original movies in there as well, like the Battle of Hoth, which we already released is just kind of like the background music to the snow battle scene from Empire. And we have the 20th Century Fox theme. It's like 20 seconds long or something. Yeah. So a lot of cool variety on this record. I'm really excited about it.
Did you ever think, I know we were talking about it earlier, did you ever think about maybe doing stuff from Ewoks or the Holiday Special? Because they have, I mean, the Holiday Special has songs.
Yeah. Yeah. We never really talked about that, but that would be pretty funny.
Or like, and then if you did a video, this is just, I'm just spitballing here because this just popped into my head. you know the scene in Jedi where they inserted the digital, I think it's Sny Snoodles is the name of the character, but they inserted this the digital song that's like in some weird alien language before the Rancor.
Oh yeah, right.
You could do something like that, maybe, where like in the middle of your video, you did that characters like that just pop in. You're like, what the fuck is this? Sweet.
We're all out of here. Being ridiculous, you know.
So, but yeah, that's that just popped into my head. I thought that would be really funny. I would crack up.
That's a good idea.
That'd be cool. Now, with the new album and tour, what kind of merchandise can people expect when they come out to see you?
You know, the usual hats, shirts, posters. We have you know, big posters that are kind of like they look like movie posters, kind of. yeah, the usual stuff, hoodies, shirts. We have a lot of cool designs by some variety of really awesome artists that you know, put together some really cool designs for us. They're very metal, but also very kind of you know, like 80s pulp art kind of style. But yeah, good. It's cool. I'm stoked on all of our new merchandise.
Very nice. And now, is there going to be physical copies of the new album as well?
Yeah, we'll have the record. We'll have vinyl of, I believe, all of our records. So yeah. Yep. We'll have the physical.
Check that. I didn't know there was vinyl. I have to check the vinyl.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll have vinyl for all three of our records.
I have it digital, but I didn't know it was vinyl. I'm going to have to get the vinyl.
Cool.
That's going in the collect.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool variants too. There's like a Grogu green variant and like a hyperspace splatter kind of.
That's awesome.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff for this. The pre-order shirt designs that are exclusive to the label pre-order are really cool too. They're like full color prints, big prints.
You guys have bigger sizes? Because I'm a bigger dude.
Yeah, we have all sizes.
It's tough because it's being a big dude and trying to get even metal shirts. It's like you think like there's so many sloppy big dudes that like metal that you.
Oh yeah, I mean
sizes, but like nobody does. You know,
yeah, I mean, you got to accommodate everybody, you know.
Yeah, right. It should not be exclusionary.
I remember going on like one of our first tours, and one of the bands who was on the tour we were all selling tons of merch, and then like one of the openers was selling nothing. And I went up to them like, hey, what's going on? Are you guys like not talking to people at all? And they're like, no, we got all smalls and mediums for our shirts. And it's like, have you been to a metal show before? Like, yeah.
Large and extra large are big sellers. Sure.
That's good. Well, I'd say that probably ties it up with not real quick question for you. Well, before we close out, yeah. Obviously we thanked you already, but I'd like to thank you on air. Thank you for coming on and thank you for doing what you do, because that's why it's fucking awesome, man. It's so cool. I was like, Mike, did you ever hear this band? And he goes, no. And I was like, you got to hear this fucking band. And I played it for him. And I played the Cantina song.
Yeah. It was the Cantina song was the first one that I heard.
And he's like, this is fucking awesome. And I was like, I know.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you dig it.
It's awesome. So you're officially a brutal dude now. And the band is Brutal Dudes, even though you're the only one we're talking to, but that's fine. We can residually reach that out, which means as far as we're concerned, anytime you want to promote anything, anytime you want to come on and just shoot the shit, anytime you got anything going on and you just want to come on, reach out, email Becky, it has my email, and reach out directly to us. We will you just let us know when you want to come on and we'll put you on. We throw that out to anybody that comes on the show because we're all about promoting positivity other than Jared Leto. So, so whatever. And to be fair, if he does come on and he apologizes for the shit that he did to me, I got no problem with bringing him on as a brutal dude too. It's just a matter of he has to take that step.
Now, hopefully he does the right thing and comes on and apologizes.
I would hope so. I would hope so. But if he doesn't, I mean, you know, feel free to kill him in any of your videos with a lightsaber. If you're looking for just a twist ending, just go like break
into. You have to scream, "That's for Jimmy."
Just break into Morbius and be like, "Ah," chop his teeth off or whatever. And then, you're welcome to come in. You guys are welcome to promote whatever you want to promote. We'll bring you on. We really appreciate you coming on because, like I said before, we're just up and coming, and anybody that gives us any kind of shine, we totally appreciate it, man.
Oh yeah, man. Thank you. This is the-